Let's see what the markets are saying before your next investment. This is RSN 927's Futures Watch with Trent Masenhelder.
And a very good morning and a welcome to the Futures Watch here on RSN 927. Mick Sharkey's favourite intro there as I welcome in the Shark. Good morning, mate. How are you?
Just back to your, harking back to your days at Ibiza. I think those little Euro dance sort of beats there in the background too, Mace.
A bit more like you at Metro or even House or Room. Room, that would have been right up your alley.
Room was right up my alley.
Yeah, no,
it sure was.
No special prizes there, and it's a very good morning. No Nick Quinn this morning, so an able substitute in Trent Langscale from tab.com.au. G'day, Trent. How are you?
Going well, thank you, Trent.
Thanks for jumping on board this morning, mate. All right, we're going to get stuck in because we've got plenty of ground to cover here on the Futures Watch. Let's start with the Caulfield Guineas, and on the back of the Autumn Sun's amazing win in the Golden Rose on Saturday, give us the market for the Caulfield Guineas, please, sir.
It's amazing to see how that went with the Autumn Sun winning there in the Golden Rose, and as a result of that, Trent, the Autumn Sun has tightened from $5 into a $2.80 favourite. Brutal, which has Doubtful next to his name, is the $8 second elect. Declaration of Heart and Leonardo da Vinci, they're both at 11 along with Zusane. Zusane did firm as well from 26 into 11 after finishing runner-up to the Autumn Sun. Smart Melody, Doubtful at 11 as well. And then at $15, you've got a couple there, Native Soldier, one of them, and Graf, who did get out from 8 to 15 after running third there. No surprise, though, Trent, the Autumn Sun tightened as the favourite 5 in the $2.80 after a barnstorming finish in the Golden Rose.
And since that win, Trent, have punters been backing him?
They have, and was pretty popular even before the win in the Golden Rose. Trent, even heading into Saturday, perhaps was just an overreaction to just the first up run, just was beaten there. That was one of the more popular gallopers anyway, and just on the back of how strong he was winning the Golden Rose, only going to really tighten in there to that $2.80 mark. And yeah, I imagine will be popular, especially when you've got Brutal with a Doubtful next to his name, and also Smart Melody, who will probably be more heading towards the 1,000 guineas. It looks at the top there a little bit thin at the moment, to be honest.
Yeah, it does. And it looks like Brutal will be headed towards the Coolmore. Shark, $2.80 for the Autumn Sun on the back of that win on the weekend. Is that a fair price?
It is a fair price. I hope when we had this segment a week ago, when we suggested to listeners that they jump in and take whatever price they could prior to the Golden Rose in anticipation of a big run, that a few of them did. You could get effectively $2 the place on the Autumn Sun in the Guineas. You know, each futures markets, it's not all about straight out win betting.
Yep.
You take the each way price, take the each way price. He was dominant. That was one of the best Golden Rose wins I've seen. At the 600, it did look like as long as the horse let go, he'd be right in the finish. But Zusane's a pretty tough nut to run down. He'd done it a couple of times in the past, the Autumn Sun, but two-year-old form to three-year-old forms always, you know, needs to measure up. And they hadn't clashed at this point up until Saturday's race. So I thought the victory was that of a horse that'll just come to Melbourne and should dominate, really. With Brutal, you know, going to the Coolmore, and we've heard that. You look through the rest of these runners, the Victorian horses just aren't up to that standard of form. If you put a horse like Declaration of Heart into Saturday's Golden Rose, I don't think he runs in the top four.
No, I agree.
Now, he's your third favourite here at $11. I think there's probably still a bit of fat in that 280 around the Autumn Sun. It's just a matter of whether you want to dive in now at that sort of short quote or wait for a couple of weeks.
I'm with you, and it looks as if they're putting all their eggs in the Caulfield Guineas basket.
Yeah.
They're not looking at the VRC Derby. They're not considering the Cox Plate. They want to avoid Winks. Here's what Kieran McAvoy had to say. He was the pilot on Saturday. He was on Correct Weight with us yesterday on RSN 927.
It's very exciting. He's going to be giving the feel of a really top-class colt, which is what he was doing in Brisbane, and you know, there's no reason to think why he can't keep improving once he gets out to what we think is his preferred trip, which is going to be, you know, a mile and further.
Yeah, he looks to be a real star of the spring, that is for sure. And I agree. I think he's got the Caulfield Guineas at his mercy. First time around Caulfield, is that becoming a bit of a myth, that sort of that theory, Sydney horses first time around Caulfield? We saw Happy Clapper probably struggle with it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. First up in the Cochrane.
I'm just looking for something that might be a chink in the armour. But
and I think that's a big factor. As soon as you get a horse that looks so dominant in the market, you start looking for, oh, okay, well, where are we going to get this horse beaten? when you're worrying about whether it's going to get around a track, and it's not like Caulfield is particularly tricky. It's just a new venue for Sydney horses, and sometimes they come unstuck. Just like horses going from Victoria up to Sydney, sometimes it takes them a run to get on their right leg and get fluent. But a trainer like Chris Waller will make sure that this horse is well and truly versed going in an anti-clockwise direction, and I'm not expecting the Caulfield track to be any sort of issue.
For our futures punters, and that's what this show is all about, do you expect Graf on the back of that run to go to the Guineas and have another crack at the Autumn Sun, or come back to the 1200 and go up the straight in the Coolmore?
I think the Coolmore is probably the more realistic option for Graf. Remember, this is pretty early in his career. He's only had the 5 starts. He made his racetrack debut in April. So he has... It's not like he was up in the autumn, had a good spell over the winter, and then came back. He sort of had that prep that went into late April, popped out again late August, probably only off a couple of weeks in the paddock. I don't know if they'll extend him to the mile this time around, possibly in the autumn, going towards a Randwick Guineas. I think they could step the horse out to 1,600 metres, but I would think that the Coolmore, particularly, you hear about the stallion value that this horse potentially has. I think they'll look at that as the better option rather than trying to beat the Autumn Sun at his own game at a distance range where you know he's going to be well and truly dominant.
Might be a smoky for that final slot in the Everest as well. Neil wear it on Racing Pulse with Michael Falgate a little earlier this morning. I'll play that grab later when we get to the Everest. We need to get the Caulfield Cup just before we do. A final one on the Guineas. Extra Brute was an impressive winner of the first at Caulfield on Saturday, something you've have an involvement with. Any chance of getting to the Guineas? And if he does, could he run a drum perhaps?
There is a slight chance, but talking to Brad Spicer this morning, and we were sort of going over the sectionals, and as good as he was, he ran the fifth fastest last 400 of the meeting, which is a great indication, but it was a sit and sprint sort of race, how it played out. So, he probably, just flattered a little bit there on the clock. Speaking to Brad this morning, all he wanted to know was where the Autumn Sun was going. And as soon as I said, well, it sounds like he's going to the Guineas, he said, right,
we'll find something else
to the Caulfield Classic, I think, because we don't have the turn of foot to match that horse.
No, that's
and you have to be realistic at this time of year. And there's good money in a lot of different races. Yep. As I said to some of the owners on the weekend, I'd rather go and win a race like the Caulfield Classic than run 6th or 7th in a Guineas.
And there's the Carbine Club at the end of the carnival as well.
Right.
There's plenty
Lots of options.
The UCI, there's plenty of good races for the 3-year-olds. All right, let's move on to the Caulfield Cup. And Trent, as we bring you back in, Knight's Watch was an impressive winner of the Naturalism. He gets his ticket into the Caulfield Cup. What's the market doing after the weekend?
Well, Kingswell Dream still retains favouritism at $4.50. But after that win in the MRC Foundation Cup Naturalism Stakes, Knight's Watch did shorten from 13 into the $8 second favourite there, Trent. Avilius at 9, particularly after the announcement last week that heading to the Bart Cummings as opposed to the Metropolitan. They're the three stayers in single figures. Then you've got Egg Tart, Young Star and Unforgotten with Doubtful next to the name at 17, and then there's a few others at $26. Rising Red and Odeon are amongst those. They both were 51 in the 26 after running behind Knight's Watch in the MRC Foundation Cup. But obviously the notable runner from Saturday, Knight's Watch, 13 into an $8 second favourite behind Kingswell Dream for the Caulfield Cup.
Shark, you've been the number one ticket holder for Kingswell Dream pretty much most of the spring. What did you take out of the Naturalism? Anything concern you there?
No, not overly. Knight's Watch was a good winner of that race, but he was prepared to win that race. Just got a slight query about the Knight's Watch at 2,400. Just not sure about whether we will see him, absolutely at his best in that distance range. I think 2,000 metres is probably, after seeing him on Saturday again, I know he came from a long way back and covered ground and everything else, but he wasn't powering on through the line. He got there in the nick of time. For me, it wasn't the run of a horse that I'd be flying into to back at $8 in a Caulfield Cup against a horse like Kingswell Dream, who we know has been dominant at its only run at 2,400, albeit in a lesser grade at listed level in a Mornington Cup. You're looking at Villiers there, probably Bart Cummings and then Melbourne Cup. I don't think it'll be running in a Caulfield Cup, Egg Tart, etc. If you want to start playing something around Kingswell Dream, I think there are a couple of horses that you can look at a longer price. One of them is Homesman at $26. I know he goes to the Underwood next on the weekend, and if he performs well there, Caulfield Cup would be a logical progression for him. Another couple of horses there around that sort of price range. Cliffs of Moher, Aidan O'Brien trained horse. Now, I believe he's on the first shipment of horses coming out. Looks a bit like a Johannes Vermeer type to my eye. Has that turn of foot. He's at a good double-figure price for a horse that's got world-class Group 1 form in Europe. I think he's too long in the market. And the other horse that I think you can have a more speculative bet on is a horse like Wall of Fire, who is at a massive price. He's at $51, heads to the Metropolitan on Saturday, first up. Now, if he wins or performs well there, the Caulfield Cup could be an option for that horse as well. So there are a few that at longer prices, if you want to try something away from King's Hill Dream, who's pretty hard to fault at the moment.
I'm going to throw one up here at $101.
I like it when you do that.
Don't laugh here, but Mighty Boss, I thought his run in the Naturalism was quite good. He's been a little bit plain this campaign, but I thought he got to the line okay. He's just racing really dour to me, and racing like a real stayer. Mick Price as Nick Quinn reports, he is going to the Turnbull. Well, he won't get near Winks, but then on to the Caulfield Cup. He's currently $101. $26 the place, though. I reckon if you have a couple of shekels each way, it's not the worst bet you could have. So Mighty Boss, I thought he was good. Got held up at the 250 and just racing like a real stayer. He might be a little sneaky one for the Caulfield Cup. We'll keep the audio of this. I'm sure it'll come back to bite me. Let's move on from the Caulfield Cup. The Melbourne Cup. We saw Torcedor overnight. Shark in Germany. Really disappointing, but according to the camp, excuses just didn't go on the wet ground.
Well, you've got to find something to forgive the horse.
It's too bad to be true, wasn't it?
Well, he was horrible. Mm. Utterly horrible. You know, he has just changed stables, though. So whether he went on the ground or not, that was an ordinary field. And a horse of Torcedor's quality with that form, you would expect him to be going a lot better. So you hope it was just a case of the ground, if you're a Torcedor supporter, not an ideal preparation coming off that race. If that's going to be your only run coming to Australia for a Melbourne Cup, that does not really instill you with a great deal of confidence.
Yep, I'm hearing very good things out of Werribee around cross counter for Godolphin. Count Octave has just been purchased by Aquis Farm. It will be trained by Chris Waller. And another one I want to get Trent's thoughts on in terms of the market is Latrobe as well. So, Trent, can you give us the updated market on the Melbourne Cup, please?
There wasn't too much change over the weekend, Trent. I'll just say the notable firmer was Knight's Watch after winning at Caulfield, 101 in the 26. But just in terms of the market, we have Kingswell Dream and Magic Circle sharing favouritism at $13. Cross Counter and Torcedor, they're both at $15. Avilius, Flag of Honour, Hamada and Withhold, they're all at $17. And you've mentioned a couple there, Count Octave at 26 and also Latrobe at 26. But there wasn't too much change in regards to the Melbourne Cup after the racing over the weekend.
Shark, I'm going to put you on the spot here. This is why we're paying you the big bucks. Give me something at a big price that you could back each way in the Melbourne Cup.
Emotionless.
Thank you. I ask and you deliver. What price? You got a price for us there?
$51 at the moment.
Trent, I'll give you some time to look it up. Has there been any money for Emotionless at a big price in the Melbourne Cup? Just while you're looking that up, Shark, what do you like about this horse?
He is a bit like the old style horse that Godolphin would bring out here. You know, flirting with sort of group enlisted form in, you know, offbeat group races in Europe and also Dubai. Seasoned horse, five-year-old. He's only lightly raced. He goes on firm ground. He was a really good winner at Newbury in July at listed level before that place to Ben Battle. He's got that form around the mile to 2,000, but he's also been Group 2 placed out to 2,400 metres. I just think he's the right style of horse that Godolphin have bought here in the past and gone really well with. He's well weighted in the cups. I like him.
Might be flying under the radar, not getting the accolades of the cross counters and the Hamadas from the boys in blue. Trent, any support for Emotionless?
Not too much, Trent, but after Sharky's recommendation, we'll be probably battering down the hatches there for Emotionless at 51 the win and 13.50 the place for the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, I think it'll be taking a few turns in after everyone listens to the Futures Watch this morning. All right, let's move on to the Cox Plate. And you said a few a cat amongst the pigeons last week, Shark, when you said Winx was vulnerable. That certainly got the social media puns playing.
Thanks for that. Thanks for slipping that little grab up and putting it out too. I had nothing else to do on my Monday afternoon than just have my phone go absolutely berserk with people basically tweeting me to abuse me.
So in all honesty, though, it's an opinions game, isn't it? And it is. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. You've had yours. The majority of people disagree, and time will tell. So
99.99% disagree, but I might just maintain my stance and see how we go.
No, absolutely. Grunt, we know, is a confirmed starter now for the Cox Plate, unless something goes amiss there. Humidor apparently runs in the Underwood on Sunday. I'm looking forward to seeing him. You know I'm all over him for the place. What are you, any further thoughts from last week on the Cox Plate? We probably didn't see too many from the weekend going there.
It will be interesting to see what they do with Kings or Dream post-Caulfield Cup, because I know Darren Weir's of the opinion that if he happens to, run really well, he'll need another run before going to Flemington. We saw it with Humidor last year at Caulfield Cup, and then backed him up in the Cox Plate, and the horse went really well, and then on to Melbourne, where he didn't stay. So I think he might try and plot a similar path with Kings Will Dream this year.
Okay, what about two horses here, or one in particular, Unforgotten, who will go around in the Epsom this weekend, and Darge, could we see Chris Wallace stablemates tackle Winx in the Cox Plate?
I think if they win the Epsom, or run really well in the Epsom.
You almost have to, don't you?
You've got to.
Yeah.
Because then it gets to the point where, okay, hang on. You've got Group 1 horses in form. The Epsom has been a proven Cox Plate form reference in the past. Why aren't we running these horses?
Trent, what's the Cox Plate market? Winx is obviously a dominant favourite. Who else is around her?
$1.30, Trent. And then there's not too much around here. You've got Grunt and Humidor. They're both at 15, then straight to 26 for Avilius, Ben Battle, D'Argento, Kings Will Dream, The Autumn Sun, and Unforgotten. The only real major change will occur if Winx was to unexpectedly go awry in the Turnbull Stakes and not run as expected and continue that winning streak, but she's $1.30 there. And as you touched on there, not only yourself, Trent, but also Sharky, when you've got D'Argento currently the $4 favourite for the Tab Epsom and Unforgotten's right there, that's where there could be a little firm, depending on what occurs on Saturday.
All right, and Winx is a warm favourite, as expected, in pre-nom betting for the Turnbull as well at $1.20. So no surprises there. While we've got you there, Trent, Sam, we're talking about the Epsom. Give us the market for the Group 1 feature this weekend.
Well, this is one of three Group 1s, which will be at Randwick on Saturday. Now, the final field is announced tomorrow, so this is still all in at the moment. So if you just want to wait an extra day and make sure that your horse is in the field, you're free to do that, but as of right now, D'Argento is the $4 favourite. Unforgotten, well, on Saturday, there was one punter that had $5,000 at $5, so Unforgotten is now $4.50. Parada at $7, Pimentari at $8, there's a couple of $11, Lanciado and Siege of Quebec. And just from last Saturday's racing, a couple of did firm. You had Noir 26 in the 15 after winning the Shannon Stakes, and Shamook Titan from 101 in the 26 after taking out the Golden Pendant. Once again, the final field is announced tomorrow, but D'Argento is currently at the top of the market at $4 ahead of Unforgotten at $4.50.
Thanks, Trent. Shark, you are very bullish about Unforgotten. Pre-barrier draw $4.50 and final field. Do you go again today, or do you keep your powder dry and wait till tomorrow?
No, you just wait. Wait that extra day. There's no rush now. There's no fat in that market. The Tab's got it pretty well right there with the two at the top, D'Argento and Unforgotten. Both of them will be exceptionally hard to beat. And then you're down to other Waller runners like Kaonic, who I give a really good chance to as well. So, yeah, just wait and see how the gates fall now and get that field confirmed before you have another bet.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with how Pierrata came back after that little setback. I thought he ran well last weekend. Kimentari, $8. We don't know if he's going to take his place in the field. We spoke to Vin Cox on Correct Weight yesterday morning. They were going to make a decision in the next 24, 48 hours. I've totally dropped off Kimentari. He needs to win again for me to get back on board with him.
He's had a bit of racing now. Yeah, as well,
tough runs
as well.
He
was up early.
Tough runs.
He has gone to war at weight for age level. And yes, the drop back to handicap conditions do sound suitable, off the back of recent weight for age racing, but what has that taken out of the horse? The fact they haven't confirmed him suggests to me they might freshen him up.
All right, let's talk about the 1,000 Guineas, and Smart Melody no doubt heads the market and he's all the rage. Is that correct, Trent?
That is right there, Trent. Smart Melody at the top of the market at $4.60. Then we have Eldorado Dreaming, Music Bay, Thrill Star. They're all at 13, along with Mystic Journey. Now, this is on the back of Mystic Journey winning the Jim Maloney Stakes at Caulfield on Saturday, is not nominated and has that next to her name there. But Mystic Journey is a $13 chance as well. And then there's a few at $17. Just amongst those, you've got Hummer Hummer. You also have Spanish Whisper, who was 26 in the 17 after finishing runner-up to Mystic Journey in the Jim Maloney Stakes. And also Seabrook. There was a bet yesterday of 1,000 each way at 26 the win and 7.25 the place. So now Seabrook, a $17 chance as well. But Smart Melody, $4.60 favourite for the 1,000 guineas.
Shark Smart Melody, we know she's smart. Does she get a mile, and do you think she's a good thing?
I think this is the toughest race to try and work out at this point of the game, largely because Smart Melody is, well, hasn't gone beyond 1,100 metres. Mm. So we are guessing.
Yep.
Now, you look at that and say, oh, 1,100, it's only an extra 500 to get the mile, blah, blah, blah. But you've got to travel, and then you've got to produce acceleration, right? At that deeper you go, and the longer you go into the race, the stronger you have to be. So her turn of foot, is it nullified? Is she might even be better at a mile. We don't know yet. I want to wait and see her at 1,400 metres before I go flying into her in a 1,000 guineas market. It is a really, really tough market to assess. Miss Fabulous is unlikely. Of course, it goes to the flight this Saturday and probably won't come to Melbourne for the 1,000 guineas. So I think she's the best filly in the country around that mile distance. But what else is there back in the ruck? You know, a horse like Fiesta, does it come down and have a go? It's just a real... Music Bay was excellent behind Smart Melody, and she looks to be a horse that might get a little bit further. Even a horse like Amphitrite, Darren Weir produced to win a Sail Maiden over 1,200, and it was a fabulous win. It was really, really... as good as you'll probably see on the provincial circuit at this time of year. She's got talent to go forward. The 1,000 guineas winner may not be obvious just yet.
No, that's
tread warily.
That's a good call. Give strength to my Thrillster ticket. I've got a live ticket at Big Odds with Thrillster, and
that's,
I think she's in the
bet.
Mix.
You were clever there, because she looks like
a miler.
A miler.
Yep.
And even in her late two-year-old races, in those Vobis Gold races, the length of her stride and just physically, she looked like a horse that would be a really nice spring three-year-old. She's made that progression. She's won really well at the Valley last time. You are sitting pretty there, Mace. She'll be in the race, so you're well-positioned.
All right, let's finish up with the Everest. Before we get the market from Trent, Neil Werrett, who's a co-owner of the final slot with Max Whitby, was on Racing Pulse this morning with Michael Felgate, and here he is talking about who they might choose with their slot.
Tataka's there. Chris Lees has got two good chances, I believe, Laura Romaine and Graf. I thought Graf was very unlucky after looking at the replays on Saturday. And if he had won on Saturday and the owners wanted to run him in the Everest, we would have been very keen to have him on board. I think he gets in at good weight.
So there we go, Neil Werrett's thoughts there. And Chautauqua likely to trial at the Valley on Friday night. Trent, what's the market for the Everest?
There wasn't too much change at the top of the market over the weekend. Trent, we have Trapeze Artist at $5. Red Zell, the defending champion, at $6. Vega Magic at $7. Nature Strip at $8. Then you're getting to In Her Time at $11. Santa Ana Lane at $13. And then at $17, you have Shoals, US Navy Flag, and also Jungle Cat, who did tighten from 51 into 17 after taking out the Sir Rupert Clark Stakes. Also from that race, Home of the Brave did ease from 13 to 26. Just the one spot left, Trapeze Artist, the $5 favourite for the Tab Everest.
All right, Shark, just quickly, any thoughts on the Everest? Obviously, Friday will be key with the Moya. Nature Strip will be a favourite there.
He will be. I've been a huge fan of Trapeze Artist in this market all the way along. I know he's been at the top of the markets throughout. For that reason, it hasn't really prompted me to lay into him in an early capacity. I think we'll... because of the nature of the race, you're going to get around that $5 mark come race day anyway. So it's just a matter of him being there fully fit on the day. I'm prepared to wait for him for the day. I still think he's the best suited in the race given the amount of pace. And we know that Trapeze Artist can sit on the back of a very strong pace and then surge off it as he did in the TJ Smith earlier this year. So I think that scenario for him in the Everest is absolutely perfect. And yeah, I was firmly in his corner.
All right, in terms of the Moya on Friday night at the Valley, Nature Strip, Brave Smash and Ball of Muscle are the ones, Nature Strip and Brave Smash are in the Everest field. Ball of Muscle still sort of there or thereabouts, although listening to Neil Werrett, they're probably unlikely at this stage, but that will be an intriguing race on Friday night. All right, we are out of time, gentlemen. gentlemen, as we do each and every week on the Futures Watch. We leave you with one to follow at a, well, it doesn't have to be a good price, but one we're pretty keen on from a future standpoint. Shark, are you going emotionless? Is he giving that to our listeners at 51 for the Melbourne Cup? Got something else for us?
I'll give you something else. I know it's not exactly early betting when the race is on Saturday, but the Metropolitan, I was at Moonee Valley this morning and watched Wall of Fire gallop. He is going very, very well and likely runs first up there on the weekend. I think he's around $15 at the moment.
We'll take that. I'll go Mighty Boss at $26 the place in the Caulfield Cup. And Trent, thanks for jumping on this morning. When can we expect final fields and markets and the like out for the features across the weekend with tab.com.au?
Yeah, so the nominations will be coming out. Well, you've got Friday night at Moonee Valley with the Moyer Stakes, also the Stutt Stakes and the Stock Stakes. They'll be coming out later on this afternoon. Saturday at Randwick, aside from the three Group 1s, there's also the Premier Stakes, another chance to impress before the Tab Everest. And then Sunday, you've got the Underwood Stakes, and you've also got the Preludes to the Caulfield Guineas and the 1,000 Guineas. So you should have all of those markets open by around about 5 o'clock this afternoon, Trenton. Once again, we know the final fields for the Tab Epsom and the Metropolitan by tomorrow morning around about 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Thanks very much, boys. We will be back same time next Monday. Have a good week.
You can hear the Futures Watch again on iTunes, on Facebook, and on the podcast page at rsn.net.au.